Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of thee. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory, paint the breeze.
July 22nd, and we're nearing the end of the month. Interesting birthdays today, or events. Why don't we do birthdays first? A guy named Moses Cleveland was born today, and he's the guy that founded Cleveland, Ohio. He's an interesting man. Went to Yale, studied law. He's a politician and surveyor. He was one of the first combat engineers they would call sappers. He was one of the people responsible for signing the starting the United States. Also, as a Connecticut citizen, an investor, he was part of a company for $1,200,000. They bought a piece of land called the Western Reserve. Now, it's interesting. Few people know that the state of Connecticut was actually they're the ones that gave birth to the state of Ohio. After the Revolutionary War, Moses Cleveland took a party to what was called the Western Reserve. He did some surveying. He made a deal with the Indians, to the Seneca and I think the Mohawk crowd, and for 1,000 they objected to this claim over what was seen as Indian lands. So for $1,200 in goods, he purchased a huge tract of land, which later became Cleveland, Ohio, and northeastern Ohio. Of course, we have Peter Minuit 100 years earlier, who paid, $24 or 60 guilders to buy Manhattan from the Indians. So I guess this was still a pretty good deal for Moses Cleveland. The first settlers were about 15 settlers that stayed there after he had surveyed the property and laid it out. He left and never returned to what was called the Western Reserve, later became Ohio, and he died in Connecticut. About 1820, there were only 150 settlers there, but how that state has grown, and it's also known as one of the mothers of presidents, that's the state of Ohio, and Virginia. We've had Grant, Harding, the Civil War generals, Garfield, Hayes, the Harrisons. There's also an Illinois connection and also a connection to Abraham Lincoln. Among the other birthdays today, Gregor Mendel, who was an Austrian monk. He's the guy that discovered the laws of heredity. You hear the term when you look at the hi-fi, stereo, and quadraphonic sound and all that, the term ATRTZ. They're not talking about Hertz Rent-A-Car. That's another story. Gustav Hertz was a physicist who discovered all of these tones and waves that later were integrated into the science of recording music and broadcasting sound. Also on this day, Raymond Chandler, the great mystery writer, he was born today. One of the most notorious Nazis, a lawyer. It's another disgrace upon that occupation or profession. Dr. Arthur Sess Inquart. He became the Gauleiter of Austria. He was later hanged as a war criminal after World War II. We had the writer Stephen Vincent Benet, who wrote The Daniel, The Devil and Daniel Webster, which was later a piece of music. And I think Orson Welles might have been involved in that. And those of you who are concerned about etiquette, Amy Vanderbilt was born today. And she was from that famous Vanderbilt family, which the Cornelius Vanderbilt made a lot of its money by selling liquor to the Indians and guns. And then also on this day, William Roth, who was one of a U.S. senator from Delaware, he was one of the people responsible for, I think, the 401ks, and that, still got this cool supposed reform of the tax laws. Also, Robert Dole from Kansas, he's not connected to Dole Pineapple, we don't think, never saw that, was a war hero. He got his arm damaged in Italy, became a U.S. senator and also a presidential candidate. Nobody from Kansas so wins the presidency. It's also maybe also Minnesota's curse. Nobody from Minnesota has ever won the presidency, even though they've had candidates, Hubert Humphrey, Walter Mondale, and now Pawlenty. It's a name you can't spell. I think his name may have been anglicized because he's a Polish-German heritage. And he's a evangelical. He's not a Roman Catholic. That's surprising. Anyway, Dole later married this Iron Magnolia, Libby Dole, who later became a senator herself and head of the Red Cross. Then we had this fashion fop, Oscar De La Renta, and then the great actor Terrence Stamp, who starred in one of Pasolini's films, which was the first one to focus on, not focus, but present frontal nudity, male nudity. And then it was called Teorema, T-O-R-E-M-A. Nobody could ever figure out what the plot of that film was. Very bizarre. Another actor is born today, starred in Mississippi Burning, William Defoe. He was also in played a Greek-Jewish concentration camp inmate who was a boxer, boxed his way to survival, and survived all that horror that the Nazis inflicted on the occupied countries, including Greece. And he survived the war and then later walked to Israel and had four sons. And I don't know, I guess he's dead today. And then if you watch Jeopardy, Alex Trebek, he's one of those Canadians born in Sudbury, Ontario, Canada. His birthday is today. And then, of course, among the deaths today, the notorious John Dillinger. If you ever go to Chicago in what they call Newtown, it's becoming very gay now, but the most infamous event that occurred there during the Depression was the lady in red, who was supposedly the girlfriend of John Dillinger, and who was public enemy number one. Now, that term was coined by J. Edgar Hoover. He was quite a master of public relations and keeping his image out there, even though there were a lot of questions about some of the things he did and one of his relationships that he was gay with Clyde Tolson. They never could explain that. But anyway, Dillinger, the FBI was looking for him. He was public enemy number one, along with Babyface Nelson and that whole crowd. And this woman decided to set him up and get the reward. She says, "I'll be wearing red outside the Biograph Theater, and John Dillinger will probably be slipping in to see a movie." He had changed, he had facial surgery, and he had spent several thousand dollars to have his fingerprints altered, but he wasn't successful. So she's wearing red, and the FBI corners John Dillinger in an alley and blows him away. So that happened today. And then the great writer, Carl Sandburg, who deified Abraham Lincoln, he died today. Among the other events today, we had George Washington took command of the Continental Army, and of course Moses Cleveland came in from the militia and became a captain, and then he was a sapper, and he was, as I said, one of the original Corps of Engineers. We did an interview with General Philip Berrigan, who was part of the Army Corps of Engineers. He had gone to West Point, and one of the rare interviews is still available. Also on this day, in 1917, after the Tsar abdicated, Tsar Nicholas II, Alexander Kerensky, who claimed to be a Democrat, tried to keep Russia in the war, and he was undercut by Lenin and Trotsky. Trotsky's real name was Lev Bronstein, and his grandnephew was the editor of the Hearst San Francisco Examiner. Philip Bronstein is now a columnist for the Hearst Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle. In 1933, Wiley Post was the first man to fly solo around the world. He later flew up in Alaska with Newt Rockne and Will Rogers, and the plane crashed, and all three of these guys died. And then in 1937, on this day, the United States Senate rejected FDR's plan to pack the Supreme Court by adding six more justices because the Supreme Court was too conservative and overruled all of his so-called New Deal reforms and the laws and economic policies. So they got the message, and FDR didn't get his six justices, but the next term he got all of his legislation approved by the U.S. Supreme Court. So believe it or not, judges are political, and they do take their gavels and stick them up to the wind sometimes. Among the other events, the first black woman judge was installed in New York City. Her name was Jane Matilda Bolin, B-O-L-I-N. And then in 1955, Richard Nixon, a lawyer who studied at Duke Law School after he served in the Navy. He was in the Navy like Gerald Ford and John Kennedy. A lot of people don't know that. He became Eisenhower was sick, had a heart attack, and Nixon became the first vice president to preside over a cabinet meeting. This was 1955. And John Nance Garner, who was the first vice president in the first FDR administration, used to say that office wasn't worth a bucket of warm spit. Of course, a lot of people called him a dirty old man anyway. But then Garner only lasted one term, and then FDR had other vice presidents. And then he ended up with Truman, who succeeded him after he had the heart attack at Warm Springs in 1944. And then another interesting thing, in 1975, it took him this long, over 100 years, to restore the citizenship of General Robert E. Lee. Lee was a very honorable man. He was probably the best of all the generals in the Civil War. He was offered command of the Union Army, but he felt his first loyalty was to the state of Virginia. His father was known as Light Horse Harry Lee, who had served in the Revolutionary War. So it's a very famous family. And also Mount Vernon, policy in the Civil War that was a sacred site, and they couldn't fight in it or around it and damage the land or the property. And then in 1986, we had another federal judge who was impeached. There was Walter Nixon from Nevada, and then a guy from Florida who's now a U.S. representative. Excuse me, I don't know how that happened. His name was Harry E. Clyburn. He was impeached because he was involved in tax evasion. And then in 1991, another homosexual predator Jeffrey Dahmer in Wisconsin confessed to murdering and sexually assaulting and murdering and mutilating, putting stuff in people in his refrigerator, about 17 males that he confessed to. He later died violently. I think they crushed him, his skull, in a toilet in a Wisconsin prison. And then also on this day, the Mormons entered Salt Lake Valley with Brigham Young, and then Brigham Young later founded Salt Lake City. Now, it's interesting that the Mormons had come through Illinois, and they had been, I think it was the founder who had been, Joseph Smith, who was murdered at Nauvoo, Illinois. And there is a thing, as you travel in that southern part of Illinois and through Iowa, it's called the Mormon Trail. There's a lot of mosquitoes and fleas, I understand. So today we're going to, since I'm having a little problem getting my interview, so we'll play something that's very come up again since we've had this terrorist attack in Norway today. They claim that Al Qaeda is involved, but I'm not sure. We'll wait till we get all the details from the Norwegians. So we are going to play. Since Wiley Post and Will Rogers were comrades, I'll play. Why don't we play this? What's wrong here?
In this country, there is not who shall be relieved and whose money shall relieve him, but who shall be the one that plays Santa Claus and actually hands out the presents, you know? That's the main problem today, is who hands out the presents. Here he says he should wear the whiskers. And it is, and Mr. Hopkins, they say no, we've got sleigh bells ourselves. Governor Talmadge, down in Georgia, he had a plan. It hit a rut and knocked him right out of the bread line last week. It's been a bad week on plans all around. I'm not going to get discouraged, though. In fact, these other failures, well, they've given me confidence, you know. More hope that my plan will be a success. Now, my plan, to state it in a nutshell, and in fact, that's where all plans come from. And the nut should never be cracked. But here is my plan in a nutshell. My plan is a plan to end all plans. It's to do away with all plans. That's what it is. There ain't but one place that a plan is any good and that it'll really work, and that's on paper. But the minute you get it off a sheet of paper and get it out in the air and it blows away, that's what it is. Now, Mr. Roosevelt, he dragged more of these boom arms out of little red schoolhouses.
That was from our library of Will Rogers, and it's pretty apropos right now because they're coming up with this plan to fix the deficit and the budget. And even though this was made about 7 years ago, it's still his comments are still relevant today. And I think this is appropriate. Will Rogers talks about what's wrong with the U.S.
Dancing at a Reisner Brothers restaurant in New York. While the nation danced, one man watched it all and discussed the topics of the day. He was Will Rogers.
Now, folks, all I know is just what little news I read every day in the papers. Everybody's talking about what's the matter with this country and what the country needs. What this country needs worse than anything else is a place to park your car. What our big cities need is another orange in these orange age stands. I'm off Ireland for home rule from now on. I read an Irish paper the other day, and says liquor is 18 cents a quart. Can you imagine a nation wanting more freedom than that?
Florence Ziegfeld kept bringing Will Rogers back to his follies year after year, and Rogers was a hit as usual. The year was 1914. By this time, the First World War had started. In England, they were singing It's a Long, Long Way to Tipperary. In America, they first sang I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier, but that changed to I'm Proud to Be the Mother of a Soldier Boy by 1917. Oh, How I Hate to Get Up in the Morning, Katie, and Hinky Dinky Polly Voo became pop hits, and Over There by George M. Cohan developed into an unofficial anthem, much as God Bless America did 25 years later. Lillian Russell, Douglas Fairbanks, Mary Pickford, William S. Hart, and Jack Dempsey sold war bonds. And thinking of more peaceful moments, Earl Carroll and Enrico Caruso wrote a song together called Dreams of Long Ago. And the great Caruso recorded it. Was ending, John Wanamaker, a department store in Philadelphia, transmitted phonograph record music to John Wanamaker's store in New York without the use of wires. It foretold the coming of a great new segment of showbiz, radio.
Well, we'll play some more. Since Woody Guthrie said a lot about America, let's honor him.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway, saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling in the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling. Voice was chanting as the fog was lifting, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, and this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. Sun comes shining, then I was strolling, the wheat fields waving, the dust clouds rolling, the voice coming chanting, and the fog was lifting, this land was made for you and me.
Yeah, and so we're going to end today with our favorite theme, and then we'll have more things next week. we're still reformatting some of these programs, and I hope to have our guest. We've had some problems here getting people together, but I think this is appropriate for the political season.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the plan?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, how to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Harris raise.
Bet him.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll call.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fudjicinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play it for a pot! That's me! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Well, coming up next week, we'll have an interview with the late General Philip Berrigan and the St. Lawrence Seaway. Also, we'll be putting more up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, and there'll be a new website on the Stephen Airey case. The U.S. Navy sailor is in one of the biggest censorship cases of military personnel whose rights have been violated, been falsely accused, and probably in the history of the United States. It's just incredible what's going on with this case and what it has cost the American taxpayer. So we'll have that. We'll be updating that, and I'm catching up on some work. Yeah, so we'll see you Monday, and this will be up on the web for you to listen at your leisure or later. Peter Paul Vizzola, good night.